You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here. And, you know, I spend a lot of time talking with business owners and marketers, actually, about how they define the word marketing. I've been doing this for around 3 decades now, and there's a lot of different definitions, a little different understandings of what marketing actually is. You know, the typical business owner thinks that marketing is advertising, right? There's a broader definition, and perhaps I personally use the broadest definition of them all, which is any activity that is designed to generate revenue in your business can fall under marketing. That's how I see it, at least. Today's guest has a different take on what marketing is or how to define marketing. And in fact, he uses very, very smartly, by the way, marketing to market an idea of non-marketing, or what he calls anti-marketing. I'm really excited to dig into this. I'm speaking today across the pond, as it were. And actually, you went to school in the UK, didn't you? So you know, exactly. You know that reference, the pond, right? Exactly. I'm talking to Tiago Faria, who is joining me from Lisbon, Portugal, or is it Lisbao?
Lisboa.
Okay. I was gonna try to welcome you on by saying something like, you know, tudo bem or something like that. And I know I wouldn't even pronounce that correctly.
Man, the effort is all that counts.
So, Tiago, welcome. And I wonder if you can start by sort of giving me your definition of what you think marketing actually is, because then we're going to talk about this anti-marketing concept.
Yeah, I think you are spot on, David, about the fact that it's a specific set of activities that we do in order to put some eyeballs in whatever we are trying to promote, produce. And then the objective of marketing is to, okay, get the attention of those people and then make them do some sort of action, some sort of response, right? To approach them to our world. And that can be multiple things. Right? It could be clicking a link, could be booking a call, could be buying something. But I think to me, it's basically the capturing the attention of our specific audience, our target audience that we want to talk to specifically. Mm-hmm. Regarding the anti-marketing, of course, I'm not anti-marketing. I love marketing. It's my life. I am obsessed by it. It's mostly to kind of point the finger to the fact that whenever we're starting out, or if we are in the beginning stages of our business, we are bombarded by tons of messages, right? From mm-hmm. all the internet marketing gurus, all those amazing celebrities that teach us many things, of course, but they also confuse us a bit by tactics, right? Very specific tactics that might be overly complex for people starting out, or might distract us, the famous shiny objects that we believe that the more complex the thing is, the easier it will be, probably just a quick button and then magically everything will appear. But it's a trap, right? I was in that trap for 3 years, just trying different tactics. We're one funnel away, and then you're one TikTok away, and you are juggling with those things. And it's a trap, and it's an addiction that you might get into. And then you try something, it doesn't work immediately. You jump to the other one, and you never allow yourself to reach the full potential that one of those strategies, strategy that you could follow deeply and for long periods of time would allow you to reach certain levels. So that is my, and I purely believe that you already have everything you need in your world in order to start and grow a very fun and sustainable business by tapping into, you know, your established relationships, whatever you already have. It's much easier for you to, if you want to earn some cash right now and you want to reach your first 5-10K per month, it doesn't make sense for you to pursue new relationships. That's the long and complex way to make money, with the ads, the funnels, the cold emailing, etc. But if you're looking for money now, you should think about what you already have in your world. Be grateful for what you have. It's just something we don't think about. But who are they? It could be your customer list, clients you've already worked with in the past, people you've had sales calls with, leads. It could be also your contacts. You look at your friends list, your family, even colleagues, people you've worked with, LinkedIn connections, and then your audience. Most of us already have some sort of audience, right? It can be email list subscribers, social media followers. These people around you that you already have established relationships, they might not necessarily be the ones who give us the money immediately, but they can also help us get the money, right? We discussed it offline, the power of referrals that we could discuss a bit later on. I don't know if you want me to expand a bit long.
I want to dig into this in a moment, but I want to circle back to a point that you made because of the shiny object idea, right? And I think that inherent in the way that we think about marketing, whatever that might mean to someone, it's often around one tactic or another, one avenue or another. And the problem that I see, I spend a lot of my time working with marketing professionals who lack an understanding of marketing beyond the particular narrow area that they happen to specialize in when it comes to marketing. And so I think universally we have a challenge when it comes to the way that businesses and marketers talk about how do you market, because there isn't really a tradition of stepping back from this question and thinking about it in the broadest sense of what is appropriate for this business at this moment in time, as you've described, you know, a new business trying to get established and using the assets it has, right?
Yeah.
And instead, what happens is a business goes, all right, how do I market? Well, I saw an ad for this, or I saw a webinar for that, or I was introduced to a person who's a marketing professional and they sold me the one thing that they sell. And as a result, our tradition is really about buying or engaging in marketing activities through tactics. And so I think there's just a universal problem with the structure of the way that marketing is bought and sold and engaged with. And that's really, I think, a contributing factor to what you're talking about. But really, it sounds like the solution that you're coming to is, well, let's really look at what's your situation and what is appropriate for where you are at this moment in time. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, exactly. And also think about tactics. Absolutely correct what you're saying. I agree 100%. And think about more about the overall strategy, right? Which is the basis of your podcast. And I think we should always look back at the timeless strategies that work always in business, in 100 years ago, right? That are timeless because they, no matter what platform you use, it will always work consistently if you just follow some specific simple plan, a simple way of approaching things. And for me, it all starts with being very clear on who you're serving, right? That's the basics of it all. That simplifies your whole life. Who is the person, the problem? Because if you start being more targeted like that, you understand exactly who you're talking to, right? And you know exactly who you want to attract the attention of. And in my approach, of my anti-marketing approach, it all starts with you actually having conversations with people, talking to people, instead of us marketers being in our own mind and behind our computers. Actually approach 5, 10, 15 people that you know is in your target audience and ask them questions simply like, oh, what are your main frustrations? What are your day-to-day look like? What are you struggling with? How does it look like? What do you want to achieve? Because if we have those conversations and we collect those emotional words that people are using, they're basically telling you what they want. They're basically telling what they want you to create and how you want to how they want you to communicate with them, right? So for my strategic approach of anti-marketing is exactly that. Tap to your current contacts, interview them, the ones that make sense, of course. Extract the pain points and the goals and the emotional words that they use and create the offer around that instead of you creating on your own mind and then figuring out if people want it or not. No. Create something that people already want. The market is asking you for that, which makes things so much easier, right? It's a You don't need to be a copywriter.
Yeah.
If
Can
you
you
just copy
just
paste.
for a moment here, clarify what you mean by offer? It's a term that
Ah,
you and
yes,
I
sorry.
understand implicitly, but for the average, service provider out there, they don't think in terms of an offer. So what might an offer look like or entail based on the scenario that you've just described?
Yes, basically, it's the way you position the way you offer your service, your programs, whatever you have to offer. And the way you position it is by, instead of you saying, I am a copywriter, or I am, I don't know, some sort of profession that we all by tendency have the tendency to say that I'm a coach, or I'm a generic coach or whatever. Instead of that, you tap into the words that people use, whatever the problems that you feel that they have, and you package the offer in the way that it resonates with the person that is talking to you, that is listening to what you have to offer, reflecting exactly what the market wants, and you position yourself as someone that has an answer to a specific problem that a person is having. I think that's the way an offer is basically the way you position yourself in the position the whatever your service is being offered.
I think that there's, obviously ways to extend that too in terms of the dialing in how to distinguish what you're doing in your business from everybody else because it is so finely tuned for that specific audience. And so the what you include or the how what you call it, even if it's the same thing that you did before, to be able to, make it resonate with that specific audience in a way that they go, wow, this is meant exactly for me.
Yes, exactly. Basically, pinpointing, okay, my service solves this specific problem, and this is the outcome that you will have after you work with me, right? And you have to think strategically about, okay, we need to find an urgent problem that people have that they want to solve right now. There has to be a reason to buy right now. Otherwise, people tend to procrastinate and they think that well, one day I'll think about that issue. And a good example would be like if you're a fitness coach, for example, and you say, "Oh, I'll help you lose 10 kilos, 10 pounds in the next 3 weeks or something like that," but that is something that people already heard many times. That it doesn't make them move anymore. They tried m many options before, nothing worked, and it's already something message that comes into one ear, leaves on the other. So you need to think about what is a problem that you want to solve urgently right now. For example, you can tap into the back pain that they are suffering due to their weight, or the knee problems that doesn't let them go upstairs, and think about how it is affecting their life nowadays, the symptoms that keeps them awake at night, and then we position our offer, the way we communicate what we serve, around that specific symptom, that problem the person's having, and you tell her exactly what she wants to achieve, and that the only viable solution will be through your services or programs.
So I want to double back on two things that I heard you say because I think they're really important for our listeners to hear. The first one is listen to the way that the people that you're interviewing talk about that situation because the language that they use is very different necessarily from the language that
Yes.
you as a professional might use. And then the second thing you talked about symptoms and the thing that they recognize is the symptom, not necessarily you as the, again, the professional know what's re the real problem or the
The
root
root
cause,
cause. Yeah.
but they're not necessarily aware of that yet.
Yes, absolutely. And that's a natural tendency that we have. It's normal. We are completely involved in our own expertise. We're biased, and we tend to communicate like our frameworks or the root causes, and that doesn't resonate with the people that are not prepared. They're not aware of it. So if they're not aware of it, they will not be. They don't feel connected with it. They won't think it's you're talking to them, right? You're talking to someone else in a different level or something else. So and we need to reach that level in order to capture the attention of the persons. And from there on, then after the person starts working with you can deal with all the root causes and all your frameworks, etc. But before that happens, there needs to be a connection that makes the person jump in, and take a decision to buy now.
So, this is something that, as I said earlier, most business owners don't know enough about marketing to really appreciate what we've just been talking about. Many marketers don't. And I'm curious how you arrived at sort of understanding this. Now, you have a background in marketing. You've worked in branding, you've worked in sort of media planning. You did work for a major corporation that you may or may not choose to reveal in a moment, for 8 years. And then somehow you found yourself in a place where you needed to teach yourself or relearn or learn a different variation on what marketing actually is. And I wonder if you might walk us through that journey of how you got to where you are on this.
As you said, I was working to a massive corporation, Google, for 8 years. I was working in Dublin, Ireland. I had a blast, of course. I learned a ton. It was an amazing experience. I interacted with some of the biggest companies in Europe, Middle East. I was feeling very limited by just one product, the Google Ads, and just being feeding the big corporations and having a boss nagging my nerves. I immediately felt that I was psychologically unemployable. Slowly I figured out I needed to follow my own path. And then in 2019 I came back to Portugal. Of course I hit against a brick wall, because I was complicating my life too much. I was using those strategies and tactics from huge corporations, trying to apply to my own small, tiny little startup business and to my clients. And it was, well, of course, it wouldn't work because you need to go through a certain process in order to you for you to reach the level of, okay, I'm ready to invest in funnels and ads, etc. Because while until you don't have a proven offer, like we talked about, something that you already know consistently, you can attract people, the people buy it, and then you consistently generate results. And then until you have a very well calculated lifetime value, it's just a big mistake to throw money at ads, and it's just going to be a waste of money. For 3 years I was in that game, struggling, falling into all the traps and testing different things, lots of different things that didn't work immediately. So I jumped to another one, and after 3 years I decided, okay, I need to do something about this. And the best thing to do is always to ask someone that already went through that path, like the path that you want to pursue, and just work with a mentor. And I worked with Terry Dean. He's one of the
Oh,
internet
sure.
marketing
Yeah,
dinosaurs.
down in Florida. Yeah, sure.
Yes, so you know him also. And he helped me, clarify my message. Who am I actually targeting and talking to? And simplify my approach. Exactly that. Remove all the distractions. Okay, what is your, whatever has been working with you, but in the past, what are the main things that are? How can we simplify this as much as possible for you and for your clients? And I got inspired by Mr. Jay Abraham, getting everything you can out of all you've got. Yeah, now my last focus was all you've got. So okay, this is the path. Like the established relationships is the easiest way for you to, grow a sustainable business, because it's people that you already know and they already know you, like and trust you at some point. And you can very easily craft an offer based on what your people tell you. You already certainly have people in your niche around you. And then you can go back to them and basically say, oh, look, I created this offer that solves the problem you told me you had. What do you think about it? What's your opinion around it? And most likely you'll get your first clients just by that small interaction you had with them. And then for those people that don't need your offer right now, but are in your network, everyone needs something. Everyone needs money. It's something that most people will be more than happy to help you out. And people love to help people that they know. So you can create a referral program around your new offer, and you simply just tap into your network and create your own small sales team of people that will happily send you leads. With this simple approach, it made my life much easier and my clients' lives easier.
So you've been talking mostly about getting a new business or a new idea or new offer up and running. And I wonder how you can apply this method to an established business, right? Somebody who's seeing some success, but maybe it's not consistent, or they're not or they have been jumping from tactic to tactic to tactic. They've got clients they're serving, but they're not really seeing the consistency. How does this apply in that scenario?
Yeah, it's all most likely applicable if you do the work of, okay, making a list of your established relationships. It's something we tend to not do. We keep focusing on new clients, the cold audiences. But to even establish businesses will even work much better because you have an even bigger network of people that know, like, and trust you. So for sure, you have clients that you work with. If they already bought what you have, you can create something else that did it, that they didn't buy from you. Some You already probably helped them solve one problem, but then whenever you solve someone one problem, it creates new problems, right? And maybe you didn't satisfy those new issues that people might have. And if you don't create something for them, they will look around for other options. So it's an easy way for you to interview your old clients and ask simply, okay, what else do you need? I help you do this. You told me it was an amazing accomplishment for you. What else do you need? And then you just by interviewing your old clients, you can already have ideas of additional offers you can create, additional services you can provide, more advanced, more profound. And then again, using the referrals in a more proactive and systematic way. Just reach out to everyone around you, your contacts, your network, and simply ask, do you know anyone that will be interested in this? I actually have a referral commission fee that I can pay out, and simply just gaining the habit of consistently reaching out to your established relationships. It's something that most people, I'm sure most people don't do at a consistent basis. It's an amazing experience to go through for any kind of business. If you make it a habit, a system basically that,
Yes. Excellent. I'm curious. So you are in Portugal. I asked you before we hit record about, I was observing on your website and on LinkedIn that a lot of the focus is in Portuguese right now, and there's two major countries in the world that I know there's a lot of people speaking Portuguese. But outside of that, right, I'm curious to understand the from your perspective, differences between the way that businesses and consumers operate in sort of the North America and a little bit in the UK structure. But as you get onto the continent of Europe, in my experience, the types of things that you're talking about are not as common, less embraced, and certainly the culturally, there it's primitive is the wrong word, but a little it has not been fully incorporated into the way that businesses operate. And I'm curious to hear your observation of sort of the delicacy of this scenario that you're talking about, depending on where you're conducting your business.
Yeah, definitely. There's many differences that I could find out already. And one of them is the fact that the consumers, maybe here in Portugal, Spain, these central southern countries in Europe, I believe people are a bit more skeptical and more, I would say, even risk averse about investing online. That's one big obstacle already. But here in Portugal, especially, paying with a credit card is something that people are not used to. They're afraid of fraud, afraid of something might happen. So even that's immediately a big difference on the way that people are, approaching this kind of offer. They need much more direct contact with you. It's a bit less of a sending people to a sales page and just hoping that they will purchase. People here have this feeling that need a bit more contact, a bit more knowing you more deeply. They're more skeptical by nature. So that's the main difference I see in between the US market and the I guess actually the English speaking markets, right? And here the local market.
Yeah, and the reason I bring this up because I think it's very much tied to the point you were making earlier about interviewing the marketplace, interviewing prospects, really understanding the total environment that you're operating your business in, and this is a piece of it. What is the cultural acceptance of the framework that you are giving us? In some places, you can be certainly in North America, we have a reputation for being much more pushy and aggressive when it comes to moving that relationship forward toward a sale than in other parts of the world. And so making sure that you're working through your process, your framework, in a way that is going to be acceptable in order to see this, to realize the benefit on the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. And one way of getting that data is, again, by interviewing people to figure out what are the main objections people might have around the way you position yourself, the way you offer, or the service that you're providing. What are the main difficulties? Where will people usually find a big obstacle that doesn't allow them to accept working or continue working with you? Definitely the questions that those interviews will arise are something that you should adapt definitely for the way you communicate with your market. So take the objections people might have and use them by design in your offer, in your the way you promote yourself. I'm always using the word offer, but the way you position your user services. So including those main objections people might have and use them proactively in the way you communicate and to, you know, surpass those potential objections by the way you describe your services, or including a specific service, additional service to your the way you promote it. But yeah, definitely, it's important for you to know what would be the main obstacles and objections.
Yeah. So to that end, I want to actually talk a little bit about the work that you do and the types of clients you serve. I jumped over to your website, and thanks to your former employer, I can just click on translate and see that, you know, at the top you have a free giveaway PDF that talks about how to package one's knowledge and their experience into, you know, a program or into an offer that is specifically designed for that ideal client. So very much consistent with what we've just been talking about. Yeah. What is it that you are ultimately helping someone do, and who are you helping, and what is the type of work that you're engaging in with them?
Yeah, so I'm focused mainly on people that work in the help industry, so consultants, coaches, service providers that are charging or willing to charge high ticket for their services, and that are looking for a simple way to, you know, uncover and find their ideal clients, your dream clients that are willing to pay a high ticket as well in their own world. So like we discussed here, the contact lists, your audience, the network that you have, in basically by doing what we described here, like choosing a very specific niche, interviewing people in that area, craft a new service, a new offer that exactly answers what people need and want, and then simply interviewing, reaching out to your current contacts, going back to people you interviewed, ask them if they are interested in it. If they're not, ask who else they would be interested in their service. And then also, if you have social media, I love to do the kind of hand-raising posts where you simply ask, hey, I'm looking for 5 people who would be interested in this specific outcome. Mm-hmm. If you're this kind of person, just let me know, send me a message or comment below. And it unlocks a way for you to interact with people. Again, talking to people, it's a big pattern here. And then you can uncover what is the problem that the person is facing, qualify, see if it makes sense for you to work with them, and then simply offer something. Okay, I can help you. Do you want help with that? I have this specific offer, service, etc. Yeah. So there's always a way for you to tap into your network and extract the ideal clients. I'm sure that if you have at least 2,000 people in your audience, there are 3 to 7 people that are ready to buy right now. The new offer that you probably never communicated in a specific way before. Mm-hmm. But if you do that, there are people around you for sure that you can unlock.
So for the clients you serve, we talked about the difference between sort of what you as a service provider or professional know is the root cause of a problem or the real problem. What are the symptoms that people who you can help, what are they aware of right now in their world that they're trying to address?
Yeah, so most of the companies that I've worked with that are my ideal clients, they usually are overly dependent on passive word of mouth, like something that I don't promote proactively, and they're afraid that they will dry out. Mm-hmm. They're a bit tired of starting a month from zero again, like, okay, a new month from zero. And they've been resorting to digital marketing services or bought courses or worked with a freelancer. Or bought a course from all those gurus that teach you tactics, right? That are not probably adjusted to you. And yes, and they've been trying to find a way to consistently find a simple way to extract ideal clients from what they have in their own world. Yeah, that's exactly the kind of person that I love to help, and that I'm usually happiest and give my best.
Yeah, and by the way, having spent a lot of time in the space that you operate in, I see what you're describing all the time, right? That there's frustration about inconsistency. There's, a lack of appreciation for the I always have to be out there. I'm doing, air quotes, marketing right now. Wow, Zoom just did some weird thing when I did that. I wasn't expecting confetti to fall
Confetti.
when I did my air quotes there. For those of you who are listening, you'll just have to head over to YouTube to find out what just happened. And the challenge is that very often businesses aren't really clear on what's missing from the scenario that you're describing. And so often they don't recognize what the problem is, but as much as they do, things aren't working and I'm not sure what. And so that's the one little hurdle that I think often has to occur, regardless of the business, whether it's, your business, Tiago, or any service provider, that we have to figure out how to bridge that gap between what they're hyper aware of and what we're aware the problem, might be. And so it's great that you're able to step in and help professionals identify those things and then build a systematic approach to address it and rectify the situation.
Yeah, because business doesn't have to be complicated. We tend to overly complicate things, and I don't know why. It's a natural tendency people have. We believe that the more complex, the more efficient will be, or the easiest will be. But no, if we just follow a simple plan and do it consistently day by day, and actually, I follow a plan that is very easy to keep up with. I only focus on three things per day, like one thing per marketing. I need to do something for marketing. I need to do one thing for sales to convert people to my own world. And also, I need to do something about the delivery, how I'm helping my clients, how I can improve it the way I need to generate results, basically win the results business. And we tend to forget also about this part of the delivery, because if we don't regenerate results, people are not going to be happy. There won't be testimonials. There will be client success stories. And I believe that if we focus on something that is simple, just like what I described here, we can do it consistently for long periods of time, and even if things don't start happening immediately, at least we have something simple to figure out and do that day good in a good way, and the day is done. It's perfect. I feel accomplished. I'm not worried about what might come, and that's a secret, I think, for me to just keep going even when things were wrong, not growing like I wanted. It really helps to have a simple path, because being an entrepreneur is already so complicated. You need to learn so many skills, and if you put on top of it like a very complicated tactic and strategy, it's not necessary,
Yeah.
in my opinion.
Indeed. And so you said those three things. We're working on at least one, maybe two of those right now. The marketing and the sales piece. And to that end, I'd love to make sure that before you leave today, that folks know where they can find you, should they want to know A, more about you, and B, more about what you might be able to help them accomplish.
Yes, David, exactly. So as I told you, I'm in the beginning stages of internationalizing my brand. So my website is still in Portuguese, but thanks to Google, you can lurk me at tiagofaria.pt. That's tiagofaria.pt for Portugal. And if you want to have a quick chat with me, just there's on the top right corner, there's a button to book a free call. I love to meet new people in this area. So it's my favorite thing to do. And we can do a brainstorm. We can diagnose whatever you have in your own world already, see if we could uncover something. Or if you want to ask any questions, just send me an email at tiago@tiagofari.pt.
Excellent. And yes, it is easy, clean website, easy to navigate. And if they were to opt in and request the free PDF that you offer as well,
Oh,
is
yeah.
that delivered in English or only in
That's still not
Portuguese?
in English. That's still in English. Let's better have a chat.
Yes, excellent. Excellent. Well, Tiago Faria, thank you so very much. This has been a fabulous conversation. I really appreciate you making time for us to get together.
Thank you, David. It was a true honor to be here. I hope someone can take something out of this conversation
Yes.
today and they can implement. That's the key. Implement something that they find
Absolutely,
valuable.
absolutely. I think there's some great and important foundational stuff we covered here
Sure.
today that I think a lot of people need to hear or need to be reminded of, or in many cases introduced to you for the first time. And so, folks, if you know someone who could benefit from listening to today's conversation, please send them our way. In the meantime, my name is David Baer, and you have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. We'll see you again here soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.